Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I am flying solo today. Todd Rex is on the East Coast. Sorry we took last week off. I was in the Middle East doing comedy for the military. I was in Bahrain. I was in Singapore. I was in Diego Garcia. Great shows for the troops. Thank you guys for what you guys do. And it was good because Armed Forces Entertainment gets MMA. So I was able to watch the UFCs and watch Bellator. And it was awesome. The shows were amazing. We had to be clean. That was really hard because a comic got in trouble for cursing or something, or for making some jokes, and we had to be 100% clean. That was pretty tough, but we pulled it out, and the military guys were great. But man, it was hard to be away because, wow, there was four MMA events in a week, which I think is great. I mean, I think they should have it every day and make it like baseball or basketball or football. I mean, anytime there's an MMA event, I will watch it. Obviously, the first one I'm talking about was UFC Fight Night, what was it, 27? With Martin Kampman versus Condit. That was a war. That was a battle. Condit, of course, won, but Kampman looked good. You know, but it's just, Martin Kampman is now becoming sort of a gatekeeper. I'm a huge Martin Kampman fan. I met him. He's a super cool guy. He's from Denmark, and my ex-girlfriend was from Sweden, and they met, and they hit it off. He's a married guy, but he was like, hey, look at my baby. His baby looks just like him. Very, very cute baby. But Dana White tweeted after that fight, hey, you know, why would you put a striker and make him into a wrestler? And I have to agree with that. I mean, normally, I guess that they were trying to surprise Condit with the wrestling, and Kampman's got great wrestling, but maybe he focused on it too much because we saw what happened. But man, that guy could take a beating. And it was a great fight. Afterwards, Condit now called out Matt Brown. He said he wants to fight Matt Brown. That would be a great fight. We had Matt Brown on the podcast 2 weeks ago. Brown, of course, said he wants to fight GSP, which I put on the underground, and a lot of people ridiculing Matt Brown. But hey, man, the guy's won six fights in a row. You can't argue with success. Personally, I don't think he would beat GSP. I wouldn't tell him that when he was on the podcast, but I don't see any really. I mean, Hendricks, I think, has the best shot of beating GSP, but it would have to be early if he lands something huge, because otherwise, I mean, GSP, I think, is pretty much the perfect fighter out there. Great wrestling, great jab, great right hand, great jiu-jitsu, good Muay Thai, good karate. It's hard to beat a guy like GSP, and he trains and he's focused. It's almost impossible. But Hendricks might be able to do it. But like I said back to before, I was talking about Matt Brown and Condit. Brown's got a tough fight coming up, though. Matt Brown has to get past Tarek Saffredine, who's tough for anybody. I mean, we saw what Tarek did to Nate Marquardt. He just bruised up his legs like a maniac. I mean, Marquardt couldn't walk afterwards. I couldn't walk afterwards. That was such a great leg kick. So, that's going to be a tough fight. But if Matt Brown gets past Tarek Saffredine, let's say he knocks him out in one round, then they should definitely make Matt Brown versus Condit, and the winner fights GSP versus Hendricks, because obviously, Condit gave GSP a great fight. And, if Matt Brown thus wins seven fights in a row, it's very hard to deny the guy a title fight. That being said, right now there's a huge issue over between Hendricks and GSP over VADA versus WADA testing, which is weird because it's only one letter off. But I guess what happened was Hendricks agreed to do VADA, which is a private testing, and then he found out that VADA is making money off GSP, so he said, I don't want to do VADA, I'll do Olympic style, which is WADA. They should just, like, just do yada and zada. I mean, at what point is this becoming ridiculous? But so now they're fighting over the testing, which I don't know. I mean, I think Olympic style should be good enough. I don't think you should have to do, you know, one or the other. So vada, wada, I don't know. It's just the whole thing's getting a little ridiculous. But hopefully they'll resolve that issue. Another thing, UFC 164, while I was away, that was amazing. I was wrong. I will admit I was wrong. I'm wrong a lot. I'm wrong about a lot of things. Ex-girlfriends, maybe, I don't know, career choice. But I will admit that I was wrong. I thought that Ben Henderson would beat Pettis. I did. I thought he was walking around too big. When they said he didn't cut that much weight for this fight, I was like, uh-oh, we're in trouble. But he got caught. He got caught in a really, really slick, quick armbar. Really quick. I would argue to say that Henderson was winning that fight before he got caught. I mean, he did sort of drop him, kind of. Anybody could get caught. But, I mean, that being said, it seems now it's 2-0 versus Pettis. It seems that Pettis has Henderson's number. But that whole event was great. I mean, Chad Mendes stopping Clay Guida. Who saw that coming? I didn't see him stopping him. That was great. And, you know, Dwayne Ludwig is now 14-0 with Team Alpha Male since taking over. 14-0. I mean, is that insane or what? The guy, he's perfect. I don't know what's going on, whether he's taking them to Legoland or what he's doing with those guys, but he's 14-0. He's a Muay Thai kickboxing champion who went over to a place of primarily wrestlers, little angry maniacs, amazing wrestlers, and made them into strikers, which is unheard of. Good for you, Dwayne Ludwig. Keep smoking that weed if it works for you. Dude, keep doing what you're doing. If you have to smoke weed and watch tape and all that, just keep it up. Nice work. By the way, there's a funny rivalry now between Roy Nelson and Uriah Faber that I guess Roy Nelson can't figure out why Faber keeps getting title shots. And then Faber came back about Roy saying, well, maybe if you win a couple fights, you get a title shot. And then Roy Nelson goes, oh, are you getting title shots because you're the Hobbit and because you're small? Very, very funny rivalry. Very, very. I mean, those guys could all live in his beard. But, you know, those guys, I don't know. I think that's a pretty funny. Okay, so that was great. The Mir-Barnett fight. You know, Frank Mir, when I met Frank Mir, he's a super nice guy, super cool guy. We were walking around. We were shooting sketches. He had a knife around his neck, which was one of the craziest things I've ever seen in my entire life. The guy's huge, huge guy. Frank Mir is not a striker. He is a submission specialist. He's got good wrestling. He's got great jiu-jitsu. You know, why he decides to stand up and trade with these guys is like, I mean, he obviously is a better striker than, you know, many, many people. And he's obviously got great, great power. I mean, he knocked out Congo and other guys. But I think he had the wrong game plan. Granted, it's easy to say he had the wrong game plan after he's lying there. He said he fell down on purpose, and that was part of his game plan, was to go to the ground. I think it was a pretty good stoppage. I know Barnett said that, you know, these guys would rather die than lose that way. And, you know, good job for Barnett. Mir's now fighting Overeem. Should be a great fight. You know, it's kind of a must-win for both these guys. They're both coming off two losses. Overeem says if Frank Mir beats him, he will quit or drop down to 135. But it's going to be a great fight. That's going to be a fight that I want to see. Overeem versus Mir. I'm picking Overeem. I think Mir's on the way down. And not that Overeem's not. But Overeem was winning his last two fights. You can't say that about Frank Mir. You know, Frank Mir was never winning against Dos Santos. I don't think he was necessarily winning against Barnett. But Overeem was killing Bigfoot Silva and then, you know, or was at least winning the fight and then got cocky, dropped his hands. He also had Travis Brown almost done. They could have stopped that fight before. So, you know, whereas Overeem got sloppy in the first fight and ran out of gas the second fight, you know, I think he wins. I think he's still a viable contender in the UFC. And Frank Mir, who I think is a Hall of Famer, and no disrespect to Frank Mir at all, but I think that, you know, if let's say he gets knocked out by Overeem, maybe it might be time to hang it up. Speaking of hanging it up, Matt Riddle retired. He cracked his rib, and then he said that he can't afford training camp. I guess marijuana is expensive in Vegas or what. I'm a Matt Riddle fan. I will always be a Matt Riddle fan. I was a fan of him on The Ultimate Fighter. I think, you know, he's a great fighter. I think the whole marijuana, you know, personally, you know, Joe Rogan says that marijuana is a performance enhancing drug. I disagree with him there. I when I smoke weed, I want to watch Dexter or Breaking Bad or eat, you know, chocolate chip cookie dough or, you know, I mean, I can't even hook up with my girlfriend on weed, basically, or my ex-girlfriend. Weed has never been a performance enhancing drug for me. Okay. I don't think that it should be looked at as, let's say, steroids or a TRT or, and I don't, and you know, if a guy like Matt Riddle who says he smokes weed to help him sleep, seems like that guy has a lot of it on his mind, you know, why should he be cut? Honestly, I understand it's a rule, yeah, and rules are rules and blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, I do kind of think that rule needs to be changed. Personal opinion, I don't know if it'll be changed, but it is legal. Weed is legal in California if you have a prescription. You know, I got my medical marijuana card. I failed it the first time because you have to take out a test, and I finished it. But, you know, so that being said, you know, it's kind of unfortunate that Matt Riddle went to Legacy. I think he thought it stood for legalize. And then he didn't fight for Legacy, and now he's in Bellator. And he said if he can't get a fight, he can't afford his training camp, which is rough because I would love to see Matt Riddle fight, especially because Riddle and War Machine had a battle on Twitter. Like I said, it was the stoner versus the boner. But, you know, I would like to see that fight. So that's that. Wrestling is back in the Olympics. I mean, how great is that? It should never even have been understand why it was even taken away. It was the first sport. It's the greatest sport. The 2008 wrestling team of Daniel Cormier, Ben Askren, Steve Mako, and a couple other guys whose names are slipping my mind right now. They're undefeated in MMA. They're 29-0 in MMA. 29-0, 2008 wrestling team. I coach a wrestling team, so of course I'm biased, but it should not even have been on the chopping block. It's so ridiculous that we even have this debate. However, here's one of the issues that I think we need to work on as wrestlers, is that in the U.S., we do folk-style wrestling. Collegiate wrestling, folk-style. That's what we do. In the Olympics, there's freestyle and Greco-Roman. So a lot of people don't want to watch freestyle and Greco-Roman because they don't do it. I mean, some people do, the purists do, and other people do. I was a prep school champion 4 years in a row, New England's. Back in my Al Bundy Polk High years, okay, but I was never that good at freestyle. I was never the most talented wrestler, but I was good at folk style. I did it and I worked hard. I was never a great freestyle wrestler. I never even attempted to do Greco-Roman, okay, which is what Dan Henderson did and other guys do. I think that we need to either. The problem is that other countries don't do folk style, so there's the rub, as we could say. So we either have to adapt freestyle and Greco-Roman in high schools around the country, or figure out a way to get every other country to do folk style. And then there's the solution. It's going to be a hard solution because it's like, that's, I think, one of the main issues, is that the wrestling that Americans do, we don't do in the Olympics. I don't know how to solve that issue. It's kind of like the gloves with the fingers, but that's an issue. The Ultimate Fighter started. You're going to get Shayna Baszler on. I love the new Ultimate Fighter. Men and women in the house together. I think it's brilliant. It's entertaining. It's fun to watch. It's interesting. It does have a little bit of a Jersey Shore, real world element to it with fighting. And some of the girls are pretty cute. I have to say that I definitely... I would, you know, partake in activities if I was there, or at least attempt to. And it's a fun show. Personally, I was on Last Comic Standing. I lived in a house for a month with 10 other comedians, and I sort of know what it's like kind of to be on a reality show. It's great. I think that I think it's a great year. It's fun. I mean, Ronda Rousey is going through a hard time. She on the last episode, she was crying at the end, which was weird to see a coach crying. But you know, it's one of those things where, you know, Ronda Rousey, it's such an abnormality, because here's a girl that was Olympian, judo champion, and unless you were in specific judo circles, you still didn't know who she was. She was a bartender. She couldn't afford money for her dog. She was working at a gym. She was a waitress. Then all of a sudden, women's MMA comes, this boom, like we haven't seen it, and now she's on the cover of Maxim, and she's in the Expendables, and she's in the Fast and the Furious, and Ronda Rousey, and it's a lot, and then you throw her on a reality show with a girl she's already beaten. It's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure. Pressure that no one else can really know except for Ronda Rousey right now. So will she crack? I mean, she's already saying things like she's only going to fight for 4 more years, and you know, will she crack? Will the pressure get to her? And that's one of the storylines. There's also other storylines too. I mean, there's Tim Gorman, who had to leave due to an injury. He was a character. I mean, the guy says he doesn't know who Misha Tate is. You don't know who Misha Tate is, really? You went on the show and went through it, and you have no idea who she is, the coach? Because I think maybe you were picked last, and your ego was a little hurt. Look, Tim Gorman seemed like he might have won it if he hadn't got thrown out. He's a tough guy. I mean, the guy, his hamstring looked like something out of an alien movie. But he was like, or his hip did at least. But he you know, the kid wanted to stay. Whereas the other seasons, guys were getting checked for, you know, a guy like. Bubba McDaniel, who I happen to like, was like asking to leave. This guy was begging to stay. He might have won. Chris Holdsworth, he's been following me for a while on Twitter. Nice kid. He's with Team Alpha Male once again. It looks like he might be the favorite. His jujitsu is superb. I don't know much about his stand up, but he looked great. And they brought back that other kid who. Forgot that kid's name, but he's funny. The guy, his father wants to get him out of the house. He hasn't paid rent in 2 years. He says, "I don't train that hard." I mean, that that kid's a classic. I mean, who goes on a fighting show and says, "I don't train that hard. I'm just naturally gifted." I mean, that's pretty amazing. I mean, in some way, I kind of root for that kid. I hate to say it because you're like, but like, really, I don't train that hard. I'm just naturally good. And then you lose and you get let back in the house. I mean, that's very entertaining. Very entertaining. We are going to talk to Shayna, who is coming off a loss. She lost to Juliana yesterday, and we're going to talk about her. Right? We have her on the show. But right now, we're going to talk to TJ Grant, who is next in line to fight Anthony Pettis. He was supposed to fight Henderson. He had to pull out so that Henderson, and because of an injury, we're going to see what he has to say.
Hello?
Hey, is it TJ Grant?
Speaking.
Hey, how's it going? It's Adam Hunter. You're on the MMA Roasted Podcast.
What's up, Adam? How are you?
Good. How's everything going?
Not too bad.
Yeah?
Chilling out, man.
Are you in Canada right now?
Yeah.
How's Canada?
Canada's good. It's getting cold. The nights are cooling off. It's not as warm as it was. We're not lucky like you guys.
I love that,
but it's all good.
I love the women in Canada. I mean, they just put out. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they put out everywhere, but yeah.
But Canadian women especially. There's something about Canadian women that just great women. You got your fight coming up against Pettis. Has it been scheduled? Is it officially announced yet? Or
no, there's no timetable really. I told UFC when I'd kind of be ready I think late December, but really early 2014 would just be ideal. I think, you know, I don't really know what the schedule of the shows coming up is, but definitely want it to be late December onward.
So what happened? So I mean, you were scheduled to fight Ben Henderson. You had just come off your biggest victory against Gray Maynard, which was, I mean, unbelievable. And what happened in training?
Well, I was just doing jiu-jitsu. Like, it was like, in the gi. And I was going with a guy, and he kind of went for like, I don't even know, you know, it's one of those fancy sweeps where kind of like goes inverted. And, but when he, you know, I stopped it, and when he came back, his heel hit me in the side of the head. It was a good shot, but I mean, it didn't like, you know, it didn't stagger me or anything like that. We just kept rolling. He didn't even apologize to me, but yeah, you know, we kept rolling, and then he went for a sweep later on, and I just kind of used my head to post out. And that was right at the very end of the roll. And then I just, you know, after that, I knew that there was something wrong. Like, I didn't felt foggy. And, you know, a couple of days later, I had to go to Winnipeg for the UFC. And, you know, I just thought, you know, I felt like I was concussed. And, you know, it really took a little while to, you know, to get right. Starting to get there, though.
Was this,
you know, I'm sure fighting Gray 2 weeks before probably, you know, probably he probably softened me up a little bit for it.
Was it the first time you've had a concussion?
Yeah. It was, you know, like I didn't get knocked out or anything, but it was, you know, I never had a headache like that or anything, you know, headache and fog and nausea and, you know, irritability. Yeah. It sucks. It's just, especially like having a kid, like just had a baby girl like a month before that fight.
Congratulations.
And, thank you. And, you know, playing with her, you know, you only got like a little bit in you, or else your symptoms start getting wacky. You can't really watch TV and listen to music, and so you're kind of limited on what you can do. You can't exercise, and you can't do all those other things to kill time, and it's tough, man. I wouldn't wish it on really anyone.
Now, how bummed were you? I mean, you must have been devastated.
Yeah, I was pretty bummed. I just one day, because, you know, once we did let the UFC know about a month later, it was probably close to 8 weeks out from the fight that, you know, it was a possibility. I let them know I had a concussion, and I went on, obviously they paid for an MRI, and, you know, they gave me a timetable, you know, just they'd like to know within a week, and, you know, the week was kind of up and I didn't feel right. And, you know, I just kind of made the decision. I was coming to grips with it. It was tough, but once I did, I felt like it was the best decision, and it's unfortunate. You know, there was no real guarantee on what was going to come my way after that. But I was happy they gave it to Pettis, because had they have given it to, you know, Josh Thompson or something like that, well, then I knew Pettis would still be in line as well.
Right.
So it was good. It was good, man. It was good to go that way. Everything worked out. I mean, we're going to get the fight. I get my title shot. And I feel like, you know, Pettis is an exciting fighter, too. So, you know, it's going to be a great fight.
Now, when you were watching the Bando Pettis fight, I mean, what was going through your head?
It was just really weird, man. Like, I don't know, like to watch a fight and know that you were supposed to be there. But I wasn't really rooting for anyone. I was just hoping they had a good fight. You know, I like to be entertained. But like I said, it's hard to really describe how I felt, you know, and then hearing them, you know, talk about me in the ring after the cage afterwards, it was just, you know, it's weird. That's all I can say.
But were you upset though when Pettis called out Aldo and not you?
A little bit, but not really. I knew the UFC. I didn't think they were going to go that route. I didn't think, you know, as a champion, and, you know, they got a list of guys at 145, you know, just putting on crazy fights, you know, to fight Aldo, like Chad Mendes fought that night, and you got Cub Swanson and Lamas, and, you know, he's got enough guys to fight, and so does Pettis. You know, these are the two of the most stacked divisions in the UFC, and there's so many contenders, and, you know, I had a feeling the UFC would want to, you know, want guys to defend their titles. You know, once you get John Jones, where you're cleaning out divisions or GSP, yeah, then you can talk super fights. But you know, there's a lot of guys left.
Who do you like? You like GSP or Hendricks?
I like Hendricks.
Really?
I like his knockout power. I think at times in his career, maybe he got away from his wrestling. But I, you know, I'm sure that he's one of the best wrestlers in the UFC, and you know, if he comes focused, and I think he's just really dangerous. I know that a lot of people compare him to Koscheck, and Koscheck's, you know, a really good fighter too, but Hendricks, really smart guy, really good at, he lands that punch on everybody, and that left hand's killer. He changes his levels well, and you know, he's just an ultra competitor. So I think he's, you know, I don't know. I mean, George is George, and he can beat anyone. And it's definitely going to be a close fight. I just give the advantage to Hendricks. Just, you know, career momentum. GSP's talking legacy. You know, when you're talking legacy, when you've got guys that are hungry coming up for your, for your spot. You know, that's usually what, you know, look at what happened at Benson, talking about, you know, Anderson Silva's record. He's got, you know, 3 title defenses or something, you know.
Was he your toughest fight, Hendricks?
Pardon?
Was Hendricks your toughest fight?
I hate to really rate them. I mean, every fight's different. You know, he's definitely one of the toughest fights. You know, I've had guys, you know, beat me in, like, Dongyeong Kim and Almeida, but, you know, and control me a lot more. But, you know, I feel like Hendricks is a dangerous guy. You know, Evan Dunham's a tough dude. He definitely likes to bring it. You know, had a lot of, you know, ups and downs. Our fight was super close, man. He's just right there, man, and that's a guy I always root for. But again, you know, I think that, you know, Hendricks and Dunham would probably be the 2 toughest dudes I fought, you know, mentally tough dudes.
What do you think of Nate Diaz when they told him he has to fight Maynard, saying, oh, no, F that, I want to fight Pettis? I mean, what do you
think? I don't know. I don't really know if I, like, I guess it's just, like, usual. Anything that they, you know, he says, you know, it's a little bit out there. But you know what? I got respect for those guys because they, you know, they walk the walk, they talk the talk, they do everything. They're real dudes. They're tough, man. And but hey, he should want to fight Pettis, but at the same time, he's got to recognize there's a lineup, and he's got to work his way back up.
Right. I mean, after coming off a loss to Josh Thompson, it'd be kind of weird to throw him against Pettis.
Yeah.
now you talk about lost to Almeida, and then you fight Shane Roller, who was a 2-time national, I think a 3-time national champion wrestler. But you submitted him by armbar. Were you nervous going into that fight that he was such a good wrestler?
Yeah, I mean, you got to prepare for, you know, that was a strong suit, and I also knew he, like all wrestlers, they get on your head and they're trying to, you know, rip your head off, guillotines, all them, you know, head and arm chokes. And, you know, that's something you got to plan for. It seems like everybody I fight's a wrestler with a nasty guillotine. So, you know, I felt like I was kind of ready for that, but, you know, I was able to, once I kind of made the cut to 155 and got in there, like I'm not saying anybody's weak, but it was, you know, it was definitely like, not the same, man, when you fight a guy like Hendricks or Almeida or Dongyeong Kim that are 190, 95 pounds that are big. Like, it's their frames that, it's not even the weight, it's the frames, man. Like, make these guys hard to sweep or get off of you. And, you know, at 155, I felt like I can move guys and, you know, use my skills. And, you know, I'm aggressive wherever the fight goes. And, you know, I like that.
What kind of background did you come up in Canada?
I started Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu when I was like 15 years old. My brother used to box, and, you know, he got a few street fights, and one time he got choked out by some dude that, you know, he's a much better boxer than, and that turned him on to the grappling, and he got me into it. And then I was only like 15, and then I got into high school wrestling, and I wrestled in high school, and just kind of the rest of history. I always just, everything for me was just, you know, trying to be a mixed martial artist. I just loved UFC since I was a little guy. And, you know, I always thought about my jiu-jitsu kind of be able to use it in a fight, not necessarily, you know, pull off anything fancy. So,
no, I mean,
once the sport got legalized though, in my area, you know, it's one of the first, I fought on the very first show, and I, you know, was lucky to get laid off from my job.
What was your job before that?
Yeah, it was just construction, man. I made pizzas. You know, it was a 9-to-4 job. I'd go to the gym every night from, like, you know, 5 or 6 o'clock, and I'd stay till like 9, and then you know, I did that for a while, and I worked construction, and then once I got laid off, I just, you know, I haven't had a real job since.
No, I mean, you're killing it. I mean, Canadians, by the way, they are the most proud people. I mean, they love, I mean, honestly, I think you've made up for giving us Celine Dion and Justin Bieber. I mean, you've really, I'm telling you, how long have you been married for?
Oh, no, I get married in October.
Oh, congratulations.
So, we did things backwards. We had a kid, and, you know, I didn't know, but when I proposed to her, she was already pregnant. You know what I'm saying?
With your kid?
Pardon?
With your kid, though, right? I mean, she wasn't just pregnant.
No, exactly. It was my kid, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
So it's all good. Get married in October, and it's just been the best thing ever, man, having a little girl. I wanted a boy, I'm not going to lie to you, but no, I got her here in my arms right now, and she's pretty special, man. I'm so happy I got a little girl.
Well, you sound like a really nice guy, man, a guy definitely I'm rooting for. So you versus Pettis, I mean, what's your game plan against Pettis?
Just war, man. Bring the fight. You know, he's good at a lot of things. You can't stand there and watch what he does. You got to go after him. He's definitely, he's a tricky dude. He's not weak in any areas. So that's what it's going to take. It's going to take, well-rounded mixed martial arts and, pressure and, war.
Are you worried about his, speed at all?
I feel like, I can handle the speed at 155. That was obviously a concern coming down in weight, but I respect everything he does. I respect his speed. I respect it all. So, I'm just excited to kind of, I'm not training yet. I'm just taking things slow, just because I don't want to have any setbacks. And but I'm excited to kind of get in there and my coach is already breaking them down and stuff like that, but I'm excited to kind of get out there and start doing it myself.
Nice, man. Well, thanks for following MMA Roasted. Thanks for being on the podcast. TJ, I look forward to watching you fight again, man.
All right, man. Thank you. And, I love your stuff, man. Keep it coming.
Oh, thanks, man. Take care. Hey, is this Shayna Baszler?
Yes, it is.
This is the Queen of Spades.
The Queen of Spades herself.
How's it going?
Not too bad. How are you?
Good. This is Adam Hunter. You're on the MMA Roasted podcast. I'm a huge fan of yours. So, Shayna, how was your experience living in the house, being on The Ultimate Fighter?
Well, this is what I tell people that ask me that question. It's almost a canned answer now, but I say, we got anything we asked for. It was everything you dream about, training with a bunch of really good fighters, with world-class coaching, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I hope to never have to do that shit again.
I was on Last Comic Standing, and I had to live in a house with comics for a month. And it was like just having the cameras on you all the time and having to be on all the time and like feeling watched. And I could kind of relate to what you went for, except for getting punched in the face. It was,
that's the easy part,
Yes.
Now,
I was watching you. Now you started wrestling because your uncle and your brother used to wrestle.
My uncle and my dad, and I kind of grew up, my grandpa had gotten remarried. So I have a couple of uncles that are actually my age, which is kind of weird. But
did you babysit your uncle? That was kind of weird. Did you have to babysit your uncle?
Yeah. We actually in public just tell each other tell people we're cousins when we hang out, because it's just easier.
Gotcha.
Explaining. But they all wrestled. So I grew up around wrestling. Although at the time that I was around it, I never really had a desire to do it, just because, back in those days, it wasn't a thing for girls to do that. So I just went because, that's where the family was going today. So I'm going to hang out at the wrestling tournament all day.
Now, by the way, you're a very attractive girl. You're very...
Oh, well, this goes to prove that you're a very intelligent man.
Oh, thank you. Now, do you have a boyfriend? Are you into guys, girls? What's your deal?
I have done both. I am currently seeing someone that happens to be a female.
Boo! No kidding. All right, go on.
But but no, that's not to say that I'm not one of those people that would color myself black or white.
Right,
but it just happens to be where I'm at right now.
So you're into guys. So sometimes you're into dudes. Sometimes you're into girls. It's kind of like how you wake up, kind of thing, or like whoever.
The flavor of the coffee that I drink this morning.
Is that how it goes?
No, I just. It's more. I mean, not to get too serious and mushy on the whole thing, it's more of a person thing. If I'm attracted to a person before I'm attracted to them sexually, I guess.
Right.
I'm not one of those people that can just like go pick out someone and have a fun night that night because I think they're hot.
You have like, to get to know the
person. There has to be some other things involved behind that.
No one night stands. No random booty calls. You're kind of like you're at least four dates before I can get you naked. Is that basically the way it goes?
Right. Yeah. At least.
Because I was actually watching the show and I was trying to figure out what you were like. I mean, not that I have like gaydar or lesbian dar, but you're not one of those girls that okay. That's a very, you know, you're not very butch at the same time. You're feminine at the same time.
What's the word? There's like a word, right?
Yeah, there's a word.
Ambiguous.
Yeah, you're very sexually ambiguous, but you're kind of like the queen of confusion, as far as.
Well, I mean that's good, I guess.
No, it's hot.
Not turning either side away.
No, right. You're just sort of like, you know, you're kind of whatever's floats your boat or you know, okay. So
right, yeah.
Now, okay, so you go on the show and everyone automatically assumes that you're the favorite. You could tell the girls were all scared of you. And because, you know, you were one of two fighters that had more than six fights, you know, people knew who you were. You fought, you know, Sarah McMahon. You fought Cyborg. I mean, well, first of all, what was that like fighting Cyborg?
Honestly, the strangest part about that whole experience was that it was my first time I'd experienced like big time media following me around, calling me up, wanting to come to the gym. So I think that just dealing with all the stuff outside of a fight while still trying to concentrate on the things within a fight was really, I kind of point to that as a coming of age for me in my MMA career. It was a really strange experience. All of a sudden a hometown who at the time was so against MMA suddenly paying attention to me because I was going to be on TV. It was weird.
Were you intimidated at all by Cyborg? I mean, you're looking over. I mean, you have to look across the cage and so you see Cyborg. Were you like, what did I get myself into?
Honestly, at the time that I fought her, I was her first fight in the United States. So I think, I mean, I don't know officially, but I want to think that I was probably the favorite going into it because I had more fights than her and she hadn't fought in the U.S. Nobody really knew who she was. So it wasn't so much fear of Cyborg like people probably get now because she didn't have this legendary thing behind her yet.
Right.
So it wasn't that. It was just, I don't know, the pressure of it being so big time suddenly, I think is what the real deal was.
Right. I wouldn't want to fight. If I looked across and saw a Cyborg, I would jump out the window.
I actually remember being across the cage and looking over in her eyes and thinking she looked scared at the time.
You think maybe because she didn't have any juice to take at the time and she like ran out?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, she didn't. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, you also fought Sarah McMahon and basically in her debut. I mean, you fought a girl who was a silver medalist in the Olympics wrestling, and that was a pretty close fight. You know, I think was that hard dealing with Sarah's wrestling?
You know, living in the Midwest, wrestling is like one of the biggest sports here. And I think when you talk about the Midwest, that's kind of the thing that in general we do better in our part of the country than anywhere else is we just wrestle. I mean, we have Oklahoma and Iowa, huge wrestling schools. And luckily, Augustana College is one of the top 10 Division II wrestling schools in the nation, like every year. And they just let me come in during their summer practices. So I would just go there twice a week and get beat up by some pretty stellar wrestlers. You know, so I got a lot of the looks that she was giving me and stuff. I by no means could I ever beat any of those guys on a wrestling mat, but you know, it really helped my defensive wrestling for sure. I think still to this day, I'm the only person that Sarah McMahon hasn't just picked up and thrown around at will.
Yeah, no, that girl's a beast. I think she's actually, I think she's probably Ronda's biggest, the number one girl to probably give Ronda a really tough fight right now, you know, is Sarah McMahon. Due to her wrestling. So you get into the house, right? And you're in this house, and I could sort of feel like, I felt like you felt from watching the show, and granted it's an edited show, and I know the way the TV cameras work, the reality works, but it felt in a way like you said, okay, you're fighting Juliana. What organization would actually put me against her? You said, where would this be sanctioned? You're like, I don't know where this girl can beat me. I don't know where she has the advantage. I don't know what they're telling her. You know, everyone else on like the team is saying the fight's going to be 2 minutes. People were saying, okay, there's no way she's going to be able to handle it with you. Do you think maybe you overlooked her?
I don't think it's so much that I overlooked her. I think, there was never a time where I was nervous. Of course, you always know in your head there's always a chance, right? Like, especially in MMA with all the different ways to finish a fight, there's always a chance. I think what I underestimated was, I think one of Juliana's strengths is that she's not going to stop fighting, right? Like, honestly, you watch the fight, and I handled her the first round.
Oh, no, yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
I was in complete control. And for her to come out and fight for her life in round two, you know, speaks a lot about her, her heart or whatever you want to say. Or maybe she just didn't realize it at the time. I don't know. But she came out in round two and fought for her life, and I didn't. And I think in retrospect, I mean, hindsight is 2020, but I think in retrospect, my experience actually hindered me in this instance because it was hard for me to get up for the fight. I've fought on huge cards against huge named girls in huge venues. It's strange to come out from some doors in a gym you've been training in twice a day, in a cage you've been working in twice a day, with like 16 people kind of clapping, nobody really cheering when you walk out. It was hard for me to think of it as more than a sparring session.
Right.
And so when we got done with the first round and I handled her just fine and she came out and, you know, hit the nitrous, I just didn't have that. I just didn't hit mine back because, you know, I kind of liken it to when you're sparring and the new guy that just started sparring is going a lot harder than he should. And you kind of have to either be a dick and just beat him up or hold him in a place and slow down the pace so that he gets it that you're being nice. For whatever reason that day, I didn't have fifth gear. And so when she came out and fought for her life, I didn't. And it was a huge factor. And I still to this day think 99 out of 100 times I win that fight. She just happened to be able to have that one time be that night.
I agree. I mean, the first round, it seemed like you at one point had a rear naked choke, but you didn't lock I'm by no means any kind of jiu-jitsu expert or I'm a comedian, you know, but it seemed like,
right.
but it seemed like you didn't put your hooks in your legs to secure the rear naked choke. And then another time, it seemed like you had like a splaydel. It was like a wrestling splaydel move, but you didn't crank the neck. Were you kind of just toying with her a little bit, or?
Yeah, I don't know. I actually, throughout the rest of the season, our team's swear word became splaydel because that's a position that she's stuck, right? There's no way for her to get out of that. All I had to do was elbow her into oblivion or crank her neck or whatever. There's a million leg locks from there. All I had to do was finish, but I let her out for whatever reason. And I really think it goes back to that mentality where I wasn't able to get above sparring mode, hard sparring mode, because, you know, when you're sparring and you get someone in a place where they're stuck like that, you're not just going to spend the rest of the round doing that. You get up and move some more. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I don't know. I don't know. So I had her finished, especially right there. The two hooks thing, if you watch some of my other fights, I like to ride the back more like a single leg crossbody ride for wrestling.
Right.
So I don't worry too much about that. I finished the rear naked choke without two hooks in. That's not so much, but the fact that I had the spladle. So whenever anything happened, you know, Team Rousey, that was our swear word. Spladle. And, you know, I don't know. I can't explain it. And as much as, you know, I may or may not, get along with Juliana. I don't know. I mean, we weren't friends. I'll say that.
Right.
We weren't friends. And I still think I beat her, 99 out of 100 times, but that day I can't deny that for whatever reason, that's the bottom line. She fought for her life and I had no urgency.
No, it's also, I was thinking about how weird it is. Like when you have a regular fight, you have a training camp and you peak fight night. Whereas this mm-hmm. show, you fought like what, a couple days before that, and then you're the first fight, and you know it's a sort of a weird way to peak, you know, like a weird way to train.
Right, and it's not you know you spend 8, 10, 12 weeks game planning for a certain opponent. You really couldn't do that.
Yeah,
on the
right.
show because you're fighting any of them at any time.
And
so
she had tape on you, but you had no tape on her.
Right, exactly. Obviously, being the most experienced, everyone knows my stuff. Everyone knows what I'm going to do. Everyone knows how I fight. They probably all know my tendencies. So, I don't know. It wasn't... There's a lot that can be said. There's a lot of factors, but, you know, it sucks because I still... And I think even some of the girls, most of the girls on the show will tell you that I was the best female in that house. And it was my show to win. And it just... You know, it didn't happen. And I was devastated. You saw on the show, like, it just hit me. I've been doing this for over 11 years, and here it was. You know, a name tag on the Ultimate Fighter Season 18 that said... I felt like they already had the thing engraved with my name on it, you know? Like,
yeah, I gotta say, though, when you were with Rhonda and you were crying, your body looked amazing. I mean, your body looked really good.
Well, thank you.
I have to say, you were in those little green shorts, and I really couldn't take what you were saying too seriously just because I kept staring.
That's okay. Any way to get fans, I'll take it.
Absolutely. Now, I mean, I personally think that, like, you're going to get another fight, and you're going to make it to the UFC. And I think that's what's in the cards. You definitely also have a character. I mean, you're sitting there doing magic tricks and stuff, and you know, I personally wouldn't be too hard on yourself. I think that you're gonna get a shot. But do you kind of in a way regret that, like, you've had so many fights before you get to get to the UFC where you kind of wish that maybe this was like 5 years ago?
I don't think I can't really regret that. I've had a pretty decent career coming into this. I think what I wish, and it's so weird, it sounds like, I don't know, it sounds like when, like, a soldier comes back from doing time. There's no way to understand how it feels. I think what I wish is that I would have not been so naive as to think that I'm so experienced, I felt every feeling that there is to feel in MMA. Like, oh, I felt all this pressure, it's not going to bother me, I felt this, I felt that. But this show creates feelings that you just really can't experience unless you've been on the show.
Right.
And it's, I mean, you hear other people that have been on the show say that, but I don't know. It's a really strange experience. I really think they should have like a psychologist or something do a study on it because it's really weird. It's a really weird thing. You're trapped in this house. It creates this false world for a bit. I don't know.
I sort of know, honestly, I think, being a comedian, I had to do like a month of not doing comedy, and I literally had to do props with Carrot Top, read children's stories to the girls next door. I'm like, when did I get to just do stand-up comedy? I sort of, in a way, can relate to being in a house with under pressure. You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's really strange. And to have 16 very competitive people that are pretty much, you know, you never know, you could be the next one picked. So everyone's, like, cutting weight and on edge. Everyone's on edge and within about 2 days of fighting, really. So, I mean, it's just, I don't know. There's just a tension, but at the same time, it's relaxed because we all kind of understand the tension we're all having. So I don't know. It's really strange. But I guess if there's something that I could regret, it's that I didn't really sit down and think about how different all that would feel. I just kind of overlooked what everyone had said. I have friends that have been on the show that had tried to tell me, and I'm like, yeah. But I've already done this stuff, you know? Like, I really wish I had listened and paid attention.
Now, the girl you're dating now, was it one of the competitors on the show?
No.
Who is it?
She just fought in the XFC for the 115 title.
Wow. So is that weird dating another fighter? Like, is that, like...
It's kind of a breath of fresh air, actually. I mean, you don't have someone complaining that you have to be at the gym all the time, or, you know, your diet having to be a certain way. It kind of works out. Very understanding when closer to a fight, you're kind of crabbier. So, it actually is, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of easier dating a fighter. Right. I think even dating a guy that's a fighter, all the same things. That are easy that way.
And final question, what was it like, now the Ronda-Misha rivalry, what are your comments on that?
I will say that is 100% real rivalry. None of that is for show. And I know that Ronda gets painted as the bad guy sometimes. But I'm telling you that it's not so much that she's a bad guy. She just doesn't care that the cameras are on her when she's saying what she says. And I think everybody else is kind of aware of cameras and how to be and not to be in front of it. Ronda don't give a fuck. She doesn't care. This is me. This is how I'm going to be. It don't matter if the camera's on. No matter whatever. So I think she gives a lot more for the show to show people. But, you know, one thing, I know that a lot of people that are hardcore MMA fans or women's MMA fans really wondered about the dynamic, I think, between me and Ronda, or me and Misha, or however it was going to end up. But Ronda really won me over, especially this episode.
Nice.
She really had my back. And, you know, they didn't show the whole conversation we had out on that couch. She said, you're my biggest threat here. And that's why I picked you as number one, because keep your enemies close. And for her to say that and then still get my back,
nice.
When she thought Misha was, you know, celebrating my loss or whatever at the end, really, really said a lot to me. And for her to kind of understand shit just happens this way sometimes, but to still believe in me, you know. And then they didn't show this, and I wish they would have, but I looked, you know, we had this pep talk or whatever, and I looked straight at her at the end and I said, you will see me across the cage one day. And she looked at me and said, I know I will. And I will beat the shit out of you. And then we started laughing. So it was good. She really won me over with all that. You know, it just speaks volumes, I think, of someone's character and confidence that someone who potentially could be, you know, going after her belt, that she's still going to treat me like a colleague and get my back and all that. So, you know, the Queen's Army will be a part of Rowdy Nation until the day we go to war.
Well, Shayna, I am a part of the Queen's Army. Thank you for coming on my show. Good luck with everything. And I hope to hear from you soon.
I will. You know, just make sure you guys watch the whole season. You never know what happens on that show, so.
Absolutely. All right, take care, beautiful.
All right, thank you.
Hello?
Hey, is this Keith Berry?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Adam Hunter on the MMA Roasted Podcast.
Hey, what's up, brother? How you doing? I'm sorry, man. I just got home from practice.
No worries, man. How's everything going?
Everything's really good. How you doing?
Good. You got a big fight coming up. Kendall Grove.
Yeah, I'm excited. Kendall, he's a real, real tough opponent, so I'm excited.
Have you ever trained with him before?
No, I've never trained with him. A lot of people that I train with know him. I train with Mark Munoz at Rain, so he fought him a little while ago, and so, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, no, he's an Ultimate Fighter winner, big name guy. This could be your this could be a big break for you.
Yeah, it better be my big break or I'm done. I'm getting my ass too much lately. I need to kick some ass.
Well, I mean, not really. I mean, you've lost your last fight, but before that, you were on a 4-fight winning streak.
Yeah, for sure. But I need to beat some big names and do some things. I've been fighting since I was 15. I'm 25, so that's 10 years. Everyone's like, oh, you're 25, you're young. But really, it's like, I've been in the game for a while, so I'm not that young.
Well, yeah, you've been in the game for a while, and you've also had sex with every Orange County girl that I've met, by the way, just so you know.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah. It comes with a territory. They just put me in a certain area, and then all the little groupies around get attracted, I guess.
Yeah,
I'm not really sure.
I'm not even kidding. I've met a lot of girls, fighters, groupies, ring girls, and they've all seemed to have one thing in common. They've slept with Keith Berry.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
So what's going on?
I guess I track what I am. It's probably dirty people.
So. Speaking of which, what's going on with you and War Machine?
War Machine, good old War Machine. I don't know, man. That guy's always mad about something. He's like his own worst enemy. He's always pissed off about something. He thinks I'm mad at him because he's a bunch of my exes. I'm like, man, just like you said, there's a lot of them, bro. Not like I'm going to get that mad about it, but he thinks I'm mad. He thinks a lot of things. That guy's another specimen, I guess.
So he's banged a couple of your ex-girlfriends?
Yeah, but I think he thinks he banged them first, but I think he's mistaken. But it doesn't really matter. The guy is what he is. He starts talking on everyone. That guy's like his own worst enemy. I think he's just gonna end up off on himself. I think he already talks about that. So I think I'm on the right track.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't understand. So it seems like some kind of weird. Like, was it over Rachel? Was that the issue?
I don't. I think it was over Ashley. This chick Ashley. I did it a while back, and then. You know what? There might have been something else. I really don't remember. It's been so long. And then he makes friends with all my opponents. I made friends with this Cortez Coleman, and he swore, like, Cortez was going to kill me and all this. And that guy was talking. And then we fought, and then he lost. And then he was even more mad. And I was with Rachel at the time, so that, I think that was another stab. So he didn't like that either.
There's a lot of Bellator drama going on here.
There's a lot of, and you know what, War Machine, he's actually entertaining. I just like him, like he punched himself in the face because all the fans got to him. What a f***ing idiot. I mean, that guy's going to beat the shit out of himself. I don't have to do anything. When I see him, I'd love to beat the shit out of him, but he'll probably beat the shit out of himself 3 or 4 times before I see him, so I'll just laugh every time.
Yeah, he did say that. He said that people were ordering him pizzas and male escorts, and that he ended up punching himself in the face because of that.
Yeah, I loved his reasoning. Well, I can't punch the wall because I'm an idiot. I can't punch my girlfriend. Well, okay, I can't punch anybody else. Well, I guess we'll just punch myself. Good one, dumb. Good one, punch yourself. When I heard that, I was like, Jesus Christ. War Machine.
Yeah, you know? No, he's definitely a character. So you're training over at Rain. Are you training with Chael too?
Yeah, I'm training with Chael. He's not training right now. I think he's going around. I think he's traveling and training and doing some seminars and stuff. But yeah, he trains over at Rain. We got over there, Brent Schaub, Chael, Jake Allenberger, Mark Munoz. A lot of really good guys, man. Great guys. Rain is really just one of the best gyms. Everyone's really cool, really respectful. We all train hard, and really good atmosphere over there. So,
how do you
good wrestlers.
How do you do against Chael and Ellenberger?
I get my ass kicked by everyone, but I'm trying to get better.
Yeah, I mean that, but that's got to be. I mean, it's got to be an amazing feeling knowing that your training partners are like the best in the world. I mean, you got to be getting much better real soon, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Mark on Wednesdays now. Mark's helped me a lot with my wrestling, and that's getting a lot better. And, you know, I just try to learn a little something from everyone because I really think everyone has a lot to take away from and stuff. So I used to be a lot really one-dimensional. So I'm trying to open up and, you know, get better at my wrestling mostly and just kind of move my head more and not be such a – I'm going to be a brawler forever, but I want to at least, you know, learn a couple more things and move a little more and do a couple, you know. progress, evolve a little bit.
Did you grow up in you grew up in Orange County?
I grew up in actually Marietta. It's like an hour inland from Orange County.
Yeah.
My parents moved here after I went to college. I went to college up north at Sac State. So when I went to college, they moved over here to Orange County.
And you wrestled in college, or?
I wrestled in high school. I didn't wrestle in college.
Wow. So you have no college wrestling. Did you start training jiu-jitsu, or I mean, how did the transition get into fighting?
I wrestled, and then I just kind of, my wrestling coach actually got me my first amateur fight, and then from there, I had three fights with King in the Cage. I got three fast knockouts, and then they called me the KO Kid and all that, and I won the King in the Cage title, and just kind of went from there. But yeah, I just wrestled, and I used to get in a lot of street fights. When I was in high school, I got jumped by some got stabbed in my back and my arm. And I just got in a lot of when I was younger. So fighting was the best thing for me. It was put all my, I guess, all my energy into one good sport, something productive and positive.
But I mean, they threw you to the wall. I mean, your fourth fight was against Terry Martin. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I mean, I was 18. It was just crazy. It was the Wild Wild West back then, you know. MMA was real fresh. And yeah, I was 18-year-old kid fighting Terry Martin in the WEC for a title. It's tough, man. It's just, I didn't have the best managers like some of these guys. You know, they pussyfoot around, they get all these good managers and all this good advice. I took all the wrong advice, all the bad mistakes, and now this is where I'm at. So now I did everything wrong, now I'm going to start doing it right.
Well, man, good luck with everything. Thank you for coming on the podcast. We definitely want to have you back.
I'd love to come in when War Machine comes in, if he could, you know, not punch himself, because I know he's not going to punch me because he's afraid to go to jail. So, or I'll punch him. I don't know. We'll see.
Maybe we'll have the Keith Berry War Machine debate on the podcast. That might be the thing to do. I'm in.
I'm in. All right, me too.
All right, cool. Thanks a lot, Keith.
All right, Adam. Thanks a lot, man. Thank you to Future Legend, my sponsor for this fight. They've been really, really great. They helped me out a lot.
No problem. Good luck, man.
Sure. All right, Adam. Thanks, man. I'll talk to you later.
Take care. That was Keith Berry. That was our show. Thank you guys so much for listening to the MMA Roasted podcast. I will be headlining the Improv in Lake Tahoe all this week. Please come out. And then next week I'm in Bloomington, Illinois, doing a comedy club there at Laugh Comedy Club. And thanks for listening. Thank you, by the way, to Shayna Baszler, TJ Grant, and Keith Berry for coming on the show. You guys rule. Take care. Bye.